Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, what looked like it was going to be a pretty good day for the Dodgers ended on a pretty sour note. Gavin Lux got hurt. We don't know the extent of the injury at the time that we're recording this, but we'll talk about what happened and what the future might look like for the Dodgers if Lux is out for an extended period of time. We'll also talk a little bit about Ryan Pepiot's outing because it was really good. That's what's on tap. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers. Your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Dodger fans, this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you will never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time with us, I am Jeff Snyder. That guy next to me is Vince Samperio. We are the hosts of Locked On Dodgers. We're also both lifelong Dodger fans just like you are. And we've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room. So we're not quite insiders, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. And unfortunately, Vince, that perspective today is a lot about Gavin Lux, who, just a real bummer of a situation. Lux worked hard all winter, getting stronger, working on his defense because he knew he was coming into the season as the Dodgers starting shortstop. Now that Corey Seager and Trey Turner are both out of his way, it was his year to shine, and now we don't know for sure. We don't know. It may not be as bad as it looked, but seems like there's at least a pretty good chance that he's going to miss some significant amount of time after a knee injury.
Yeah, I mean, it looked bad in the moment. It looked bad on replay. And barring some miraculous best-case scenario of, like, it was just a – you know, sometimes you can't put weight on your leg right after like a little injury. But barring that kind of miraculous thing, it seems best case scenario is like a hyperextension of some sort with no true ligament damage, at least not in the tear. And then worst case scenario, some of those ligaments in his knee are not currently together anymore. So all in all, it's tough. And as we'll get into, you know, later in terms of what it means for the Dodgers, that's also tough. But yeah, just if it is something that costs him a lot of time, I mean, you could tell in his face, you could tell the way he was reacting. It didn't seem great. It was interesting. I mean, I guess he can't do too much more damage if it already was hurt. It was interesting that they just had Roberts and the trainer just lift him and kind of make him walk over to the cart rather than, you know, we see it in football. We've seen it in other sports where there's more staff and more precaution than caution taken. So that was a little interesting, but yeah, it's just a kind of a bummer on a game, especially a spring game, especially one of the first spring games of the season.
Yeah. And there's plenty of things we could look for if we're looking for reasons for optimism. And that's one of them. Like clearly he didn't break a bone. He didn't break his leg because they wouldn't let him put any weight on it if he had. And Dave Roberts said that they are holding out hope that it's not too serious. And so, you know, the fact that Roberts, who has seen what happened, is still holding out hope maybe means something. For me, maybe the biggest sign of hope is, like, I'm not really holding out much hope that he's going to be back in the lineup in 3 days. I assume he's going to be down for a while. But the way that Roberts described it, he said Lux felt something pop in the outside of his knee. And if you watch the replay, the way that his leg turned, it did look like if it was a knee injury, it was the outer knee, which means probably not the ACL. And, you know, ACL tears take longer to recover from than like a PCL or a meniscus or, you know, maybe even both of those. So an ACL tear, Lux would likely be out for the entire season. And chances are, if it's not the ACL, he could be back in 2 months if there's torn ligaments. You know, even if the, you know, so I guess, you know, there's different levels of worst case scenario, but there's a chance that the worst case might be a PCL tear, which would be, you know, I'm not a doctor and I don't play one on a podcast, but, you know, I would guess a significantly shorter recovery time than an ACL, although still a significant amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, ACL, he's done for sure. But considering a full tear with surgery, he's done for sure. Yeah, PCL, meniscus, like you said, a couple months at like best. But and I guess, you know, there's never a best time to have an injury, you know. But if it is not the complete tear and, you know, this is the injury, I guess this would be the best time in the sense that, you know, last year we saw him be really, really good and then get hurt and then come back and it took time for him to adjust. He hasn't even been able to get time to adjust to major league pitching yet. I mean, he had just hit a single, but, you know, there's no like best case scenario of when to get hurt. But if he's going to be hurt, like, okay, Gavin Lux is going to get hurt this year, I would say that this might be that time that at least benefits the Dodgers if it's not the entire season.
Yeah. And realistically, if he is out for, you know, more than a couple weeks, then he'd likely have to basically have a full spring training in rehab, whether it's extended spring training at Camelback or, you know, rehab in the minor leagues or a combination of the two. And so, yeah, because he, you know, he's missing spring training now or missing part of spring training. And like I said, there's still a possibility that he will be back in a week, that it's just a you know, he hyperextended something and they're going to ice it for a couple of days and keep him out for a week and he'll be back. It doesn't seem likely, but, you know, and I guess one other sign of hope, Roberts said that in the moment, Lux said he couldn't feel his knee and it was numb. And Roberts said that that had dissipated by the time they were in the clubhouse, which maybe is a good sign. Yeah. Again, you know, we're kind of grasping at straws, things to be optimistic about at this point. And probably around the time that our listeners are listening to this episode, we'll be finding out the results of the MRI. We know that Gavin Lux went for an MRI. I assume, you know, we're recording this at 9:30 p.m. on, you know, LA time on Monday night. I assume if we were going to get results of that MRI on Monday, we would have gotten them by now. So chances are Tuesday morning, we will have more information on what's going on with Lux. But we are going to come back in a minute and we're going to talk about what the Dodgers might do if Lux is out for a significant amount of time, what their options are at shortstop. So we want to thank you again for making Locked on Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. And please continue to keep it locked on Dodgers. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. If you're looking for a delicious treat, but you don't want all the fat and calories, you got to try Built Bar. You know, the holidays are over. We're all trying to eat a little bit healthier. If you follow my podcast partner, Vince Zamperi on Twitter, you know that Vince has been killing it on eating healthier, losing weight and getting healthy, inspiring me. Maybe I'll do the same thing. I'm actually working on it too. Not quite as far along in the process as Vince is, but Built Bar is a big part of it for both of us because you need to have a snack that you can eat that can satisfy your cravings, your hunger, and not make you fat. And that's what Built Bar is. It's a protein bar that doesn't taste like a protein bar, tastes like a candy bar. You're going to love it. I just got a text message from Built today saying that the cookie dough chunk Built Puffs are back. If you haven't tried those, you need to try those. Go to built.com right now, order some of those. Or if you just want some Built Bars, guess what? They're in the store at Walmart and Sam's Club right now. I guarantee you have a Walmart or a Sam's Club nearby. So head down there to Walmart, Sam's Club, pick up some Built Bars in the store. You don't even have to go to built.com, although you still can. And as far as I know, our promo code LOCKEDON15 probably still works for a discount if you go online to get yourself some cookie dough chunk Built Puffs. Whatever you get, though, eat them, love them, and you can thank us later. And we are back. We want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. And for your second listen, be sure to check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball when you're done here. Win your league by listening to Matt and Dom every day as they bring you the best fantasy draft strategies. Find Locked On Fantasy Baseball wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And Vince, I know you had your ears plugged and weren't listening, but I was bragging about you during that ad read. You're killing it, man. Congratulations on the weight loss. I've noticed your shoulders go down, your arms go down more to your side instead of like this, like mine do. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And actually, Built Bars were part of that process. You know, what kind of the way the nutritionist had me working was, you know, half protein shakes, half meals every day. But sometimes, you know, you don't have time for a protein shake or you're out and about, and Built Bars are like a perfect thing to replace that, like meal replacement. So Built Bars do actually work, and they have, were part of that process for me. So
that's awesome. less awesome is the Gavin Lux news. And, you know, we're this next segment, we're not trying to be pessimistic. We are just talking about what if Gavin Lux is out for a long time. I am remaining hopeful until I find out for sure. I'm going to remain hopeful that Lux will be back sooner than later. But if he's out for a significant amount of time, and maybe these answers will be different depending on how we define significant. Obviously, if he's out for the whole season, that's one thing. If he's out for the first month and a half of the regular season, you know, maybe it's a different answer. But let's talk a little bit about the internal options, first of all, of who they have. You know, Gavin Lux became the Dodgers starting shortstop because he came up as a shortstop. He's always been a shortstop, and he only moved to second base because he was blocked at shortstop. Well, the Dodgers have two other guys on the roster who that describes just as well. Chris Taylor and Miguel Rojas both came up as shortstops and moved to other positions because they were blocked at shortstop with the Dodgers. And so either one of those guys could jump in. Obviously, Rojas will give you better defense probably, and Taylor will hopefully give you better offense if he can bounce back from last season. But, you know, Vince, what are your thoughts on those two guys as internal options to replace Gavin Lux at shortstop?
Yeah, and it depends. If it's Gavin Lux is out for 2 months, okay, that's, you know, that's fine. Miguel Rojas, Chris Taylor can definitely hold it down defensively. And if they can just give you somewhat, you know, even 100, you know, a league average OPS or a league average OPS plus, then that is beneficial for the Dodgers and that'll work out. And it probably gives somebody else in that outfield range, you know, a roster spot between Hayward, Outman, Trace Thompson, and one of those other guys can kind of step up in that range. If it's entire season, then you're looking at the Dodgers, are their hands are tied a little bit. They don't necessarily have anyone in the minors that can come up and be an everyday type of shortstop, or even a guy that can be a shortstop 60-70% of the time. At this point, it doesn't seem like any teams are really looking to sell off any shortstops. You know, the guys that we heard in the offseason, Tim Anderson, Willy Adames, I would imagine the White Sox and Brewers at this point in the offseason are looking forward to the regular season and see how they're playing. So they're not necessarily looking to deal stuff. So you're going to have to hope that Rojas and Taylor can put it together. If that was the case, they signed a guy more for depth than anything, Bryson Brigman. He's played in AAA the last couple of years for a couple different teams. Yeah, unless that guy becomes Chris Taylor of a few years ago, I don't expect much there. So this was kind of the, you know, obviously we're speaking in hypotheticals, but this is the worst spot for the Dodgers to kind of lose somebody for that long. And if, like I said, can Miguel Rojas and Chris Taylor be the shortstops the entire season? One of them emerges or whatever the case? Yes. And would it still be okay for the Dodgers? Yes. Is that an ideal situation? No.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It's good you mentioned Bryson Brigman, just so that when he does lead off game one of the World Series for the Dodgers this year, like Chris Taylor did in 2017, we could say, yeah, we talked about him the day the Dodgers signed him. But, you know, it's funny that not ha-ha funny, but the other kind of funny that maybe the biggest beneficiary of Lux being hurt would be James Outman, because whatever the Dodgers do internally, whether it's, you know, they're kind of planning on Rojas being everybody's backup in the infield. And I think Rojas is more suited to be the all over backup than Taylor is. And so maybe it makes more sense for Taylor to be the starting shortstop. Rojas remain the utility infielder. But even if they went the other route, if Rojas is the starting shortstop, then Taylor has to be the utility infielder. Either way, Taylor is getting pulled out of the outfield, which means now where we thought that Trace Thompson, Jason Hayward, and James Outman were fighting over two spots, now suddenly there's basically three spots available, and maybe James Outman does get to start the season in the big leagues. See, still not a guarantee, because you know the Dodgers want James Outman to play every day wherever he is, and so if he doesn't earn himself a starting job, they might still start him in AAA, I guess, and go with as Steven Duggar or Bradley Zimmer type instead. But it could be really good news for James Outman. Obviously not the way that he would want to get that news. But yeah, I don't know, Vince, do you have a strong preference between Taylor and Rojas based on, you know, what we're talking about who fits better as the utility infielder, who maybe gives you more value as an everyday player?
I mean, Miguel Rojas has been an everyday player the last few years, but that's because he's been on a team like the Marlins more likely than him actually earning it. Well, at least offensively. Defensively, he can handle it. But there is another year on his body. He did have injuries last year. You know, it's not a guarantee that he can handle an everyday load at this point. And Chris Taylor, a little bit younger, in theory, he's played mostly every day the last few years. He'd be able to handle it a little bit better. I'm sure he would love it. I mean, he's a natural. Anytime you're a natural shortstop, you're going to want to play shortstop. So I'm sure he'd be fine with it. It just depends, I guess. You know, Chris Taylor gives you versatility in both, in outfield and infield. Miguel Rojas is just infield. So technically for the Dodgers, versatility, Miguel Rojas being the guy that move, or that is the shortstop more, you know, more most of the time, makes more sense for the Dodgers in terms of trying to move guys around. But with the DH entrenched with JD Martinez, there's not going to be a lot of moving around anyways once guys kind of settle in. Now, if it ends up being some spots in the outfield become platoons, then yeah, then it's a little bit different. But I think I'd be better or fine with Miguel Rojas getting the start every day for the time being, with Taylor moving around, just because he can move infield and outfield. Because in outfield, you're starting a lot of unknowns right now. And in the infield, you're a little bit more known. So even if you have Miguel Rojas with the, you know, OPS in the 85-90 range, that's still better than, you know, having some of those guys that, you know, Outman and guys that we don't know what they're going to give. Jason Hayward, you know, Duggar, Zimmer. There's a reason most of those guys are on minor league deals. And there's a reason Outman, other than inexperience, hasn't been, you know, a guy that the Dodgers have counted on so far in his career.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have Taylor as the starter, you know, for a couple of reasons, partly because, you know, I do think Taylor is going to hit better than Rojas. And so I want Taylor to get more at bats than Rojas this year. And the starting job is the way to make sure that happens. I also think, you know, Dave Roberts has talked about Rojas being the backup for all four infielders, including third base and first base. And Taylor has less experience at third base than Rojas does. And as far as I know, zero experience at first base. And you know, obviously, backup first baseman isn't a super important job on a team with Freddie Freeman, but it's still, you know, Dave Roberts did imply that he's going to try to get Freddie at least a couple more days off than he got last year. And I think I'd rather have, if it's going to be, you know, a longish term situation, I think I'd rather have somebody playing short every day, not, you know, if it's going to be Taylor, I want it to be Taylor playing shortstop and not shortstop, and also sometimes outfield and sometimes second base, because I think part of what we saw with Taylor last year, it was kind of the opposite, because last year he said he was playing the same position a little too much, so it was hard to get used to being a utility guy again. But if you're playing shortstop, that position is so important. I feel like you just need to do that every day. Other than when you have an actual day off. And so for offensive purposes, I think the Dodgers with Lux out are going to need all the offense they can get. And so I think for that reason, I'd rather have it be Taylor starting than Rojas.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it can go either. I wouldn't be upset either way at what happens. So we'll just have to wait and see. Yeah. Hopefully in the morning, none of this is relevant and Gavin Lux is going to be back on the field in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we generally don't hope that our podcast episodes become obsolete within minutes, but that's our goal here with this one, that we will spend all this time. It'll be like the Carlos Correa one all over again. When I did a whole half episode about Carlos Correa, could he sign with the Dodgers if his deal with the Giants falls apart? And then next thing we knew, he had signed with the Mets, although he didn't really sign with the Mets either. But yeah, hopefully this will become obsolete about as quickly as that one did. And Gavin Lux will be back in a few days and everything will be fine. But it's also, it's good to know that they have options and, you know, internal options. And like you said, you know, anything can happen in the spring with the White Sox or the Brewers. I think they are kind of, Tim Anderson and Willie Adames are the two main possible trade targets. We know that Corbin Burnes is disgruntled in Milwaukee, and, you know, maybe the Brewers just decide to burn it all down and do a trade involving Burnes and Adames for a crap load of prospects from the Dodgers. I don't know where, obviously the Dodgers, Corbin Burnes is a guy you find room for in your rotation, but they don't actually need a starter right now. But I guess maybe a starter would be going back to Milwaukee in that trade or something. But anyway, you know, I mean, they could go outside. It does segue a little bit to what we're going to talk about next. They do have internal options and maybe there's external options, but yeah, in just a second, we are going to talk about one of those young pitching options who started for the Dodgers on Monday in the game against the Padres. That's Ryan Pepiot. and talk about his outing and his thoughts on that and how that looks. So thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. And please continue to keep it Locked On Dodgers. All right, we are back. We want to thank you one last time for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen. If you're watching on YouTube, we'd love to hear your comments in the YouTube comments section below. If you're listening on the podcast, we'd love to hear from you through social media or email or whatever. We'll give you all the contact info at the end like we always do. But yeah, so that game, I mentioned at the top that it seemed like it was going to be a pretty good day for the Dodgers. It was a good game. There was some good stuff going on. Will Smith got a couple hits. Mookie Betts played for the first time this spring. And Ryan Pepiot had a really good first inning. He only pitched the one inning, but for his first outing of the spring, it was really good. His first batter of the game, Xander Bogaerts, he got a weak little chopper to third base that Luke Williams just clanked. And so Bogaerts got on an error. David Dahl got a legitimate base hit to right field. But then with kind of the teeth of the lineup coming up, it was Manny Machado, Nelson Cruz, and Matt Carpenter. And Pepiot just said, hey, little boys, go home. He struck out Machado on three pitches, got a swing and miss on a changeup, and got him swing and miss strike three on the slider. He got Nelson Cruz to swing and miss at the changeup before getting a weak fly out to left. And then Matt Carpenter, weak pop-up to shortstop. That was the inning. And a combination of swing and miss, throwing strikes, and getting weak contact. It was about as good as we could have hoped for from Pepe in his first outing, don't you think?
Yeah, I know Tatis didn't play, but the teeth of the lineup involving Nelson Cruz and Matt Carpenter is kind of funny when people are so hyped on the Padres. But
yeah, but yeah. Juan Soto was a late scratch too towel tightness. So yeah, there will be sharper teeth in the regular season, the Padres are hoping, but it's for what they had, all those guys are former All-Stars. So
I mean, yeah, no knock on there's still guys that can hit. And as we saw with Pepe on the pass, it hasn't necessarily been his stuff 100%, more so than his ability to locate and his maybe trusting his stuff a little bit. You know, you've mentioned a lot in the past about the changeup being good in the minor leagues to get swings and misses because he can maybe throw it out of the zone a little bit more than he can in the major leagues because guys down in the minors aren't as good at recognizing or laying off pitches like that. Now, you know, you're up here now and it's a little bit different, but for him to be able to do that, and, you know, we talked about spring results yesterday and not taking too much stock into him, but having two runners on and going up against the middle of the order, regardless of what team it is and regardless of what the middle of the order looks like, that's still their, in theory, three best hitters that are supposed to come up, or three best hitters in the lineup the rest of the way. And he got them all out and he didn't, you know, falter under pressure, and all that stuff adds up and all that stuff looks pretty good. And, you know, for the Dodgers now with, you know, Pepiot, is you look at it a few different ways after this Lux injury of, okay, that's a good start for him to build some credibility in terms of we can shop him. You know, Pepiot and Michael Bush is a pretty good starting package to try to get a shortstop. But if not, which, you know, we're hoping to not look at, Ryan Pepiot being good is also beneficial for the Dodgers, not just this year, but in the future. And we know someone's going to get hurt this year for the Dodgers, and pitching wise, just even, you know, not significant, hopefully, but someone's going to have to miss some starts at some point. And if Ryan Pepiot can fill that void and be good at it, then, you know, benefits the Dodgers this year even more.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up not focusing on results, because we do want to make it clear, we're not talking about the scoreless inning. We're talking about the stuff, you know. And last year, Pepiot's changeup took a big step backwards. And, you know, Keith Law, when he was on the show a couple weeks ago, he said he thinks it was maybe because of the focus he was putting on developing a slider, that maybe that cost him some effectiveness with his changeup. But whatever it was, both pitches looked really good. And Pepiot talked after the game, talking to the media, he had some stuff to say about that. He said, it felt good to be out there again. My first game in a long time, so it's good to have that under my belt. Definitely a confidence booster. Build out that one and go to the next. It's kind of funny. He started off his interview with the media with just a lot of cliches. Definitely nice to have some success. Good defense behind me. Good to see us put up a few runs too. It's kind of funny that he even threw in the good defense behind me cliche when literally there was an error behind him that cost him a base runner. But then he got into a little bit better, more meaningful answers. He said it's obviously a nice test, talking about going up against the teeth of the order like that. It's a nice test. I got to face Mookie and Freddie the other day and JD, so I got thrown into the fire early. But it's nice to play those guys, see some of the lineup that we'll see later on this year, and just get those at-bats under my belt. And then they asked him about his slider. And he said, yeah, it was more consistent, turn left a little more, have a little more movement to miss some barrels and get some swing and miss. Obviously trying to get weak contact. I got Bogaerts at a weak grounder on a slider. So just being able to see weak contact and the swing and miss with it, it's definitely nice. And then talking about the changeup, a reporter asked him, did you feel like this changeup you were throwing was closer to the one that we've heard about when you were a prospect? And Pepiot kind of smiled. He said, yeah, it feels better. Landing it for a strike, throwing it for a strike to lefties, and it's not running all the way off the plate for me. Got some good swing and miss on Machado and Cruz, so it definitely feels like I'm getting close to back where I was. That point that obviously Pepiot, you know, he's probably more aware than the rest of us of where his changeup has struggled. But he talks about throwing it to the lefties and having it just run off the plate. You know, he had too much horizontal movement on his changeup last year, and it was moving off the plate. And what we saw in this game on Monday was that depth, the drop. And so it still had some horizontal movement, but it's working like, I mean, basically like a screwball or like a, almost like a 12 to 6 curveball, but in reverse, you know? And so it had that drop, and just staying in the strike zone for him, that's the key, because it's going to be unhittable when it's moving like it was. They're not going to hit the ball hard. And if he can throw that for strikes, I think 17 of his 21 pitches were for strikes today. And Rick Monday made a tortured point about his inability to throw strikes last year. What Rick Monday was trying to say was that he only threw 59% strikes last year. What he actually said was that he threw something in about a word that he obviously doesn't know what it means. I'll have to find it when you're talking in a minute instead of listening to you. You know how I do this podcast, but yeah, I mean, Pepiot,
it was your tweet. You said variance, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He had a 59% variance as far as throwing the pitch for strikes last year. I don't think that means what you think it means, Rick, but yeah, you know, that changeup and slider both looked really good. And it's regardless of the score of this inning, even if both those guys had scored, seeing those pitches like that, it's very promising for the season.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, a good first start for him, and we'll continue to see that develop. And, you know, he's going to have to throw some big innings for the Dodgers this year. So for him to kind of figure it out a little bit, get that confidence. And that's the biggest part of it is confidence. Hey, you just threw Machado, Cruz, and Matt Carpenter, and you got them all out with the pitches that you wanted to, or you were looking to attack with. It wasn't a matter of, you know, he made a mistake and they messed up. He threw what he wanted to and, you know, got the swing and miss when he needed to, got the soft contact when he needed to. And as we've seen with the Dodgers, soft contact is more probably of what they're looking for rather than the swing and miss and the strikeouts. The strikeouts are nice, but the soft contact is really what they're looking for.
Yeah. And Manny Machado finished second in the MVP voting last year. I think he was listed by MLB Network as the fifth best player in baseball right now. And he struck him out on three pitches. And it was, you know, I know Machado strikes out some, but that will give any young pitcher confidence, making Machado look that bad. We saw it with Dustin May in 2020. And it's the same kind of thing. Like, that will give you confidence.
Yeah.
I think that's going to do it for us for today. Right, Vince? You got anything else?
No, nothing else. I'm good. The Lux thing kind of killed the – like Padres Dodgers sense of the game too. So at the very least, that was a benefit to the Lux injury as well.
Yeah. There was actually a lot of back and forth at the end of the game. Dodgers were up 3-1 when Lux got hurt. They ended up winning 7-6. The Padres took the lead, and it was a good reminder that spring training games don't mean anything, because if the Padres had won that game, it would have been because somebody named, what was that guy's name? I only know his name because I just saw him in the transactions. Trevor Betancourt allowed a fly ball that Drew Avens lost in the sun. And so I don't think Trevor Betancourt or Drew Avens are going to play very heavily in the Dodgers-Padres rivalry in 2023. And that's why you remember the spring training is meaningless.
I sure hope they don't.
Oh, from my mouth to God's ears. But yeah, again, we hope that the first two segments of this episode are obsolete really quick. We're hoping for the best news possible about Gavin Lux. Obviously, you know, he was emotional, and it's devastating to him as a person and as a player. And so best thoughts for him, and hopefully he'll be back with the Dodgers soon. But that's going to do it for us today. We want to thank you all for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball. Win your league by listening to Matt and Dom every day as they bring you the best fantasy draft strategies. Find Locked On Fantasy Baseball wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. If you're not watching or listening to Locked On Dodgers every weekday morning, we'd love if you had one or two days a month of your rotation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're watching or listening. If you have friends or family who love the Dodgers the way you do, please tell them about the show. You can follow us on Instagram and on Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. You can also email us anytime you want at lockedondodgers@gmail.com. Or you can leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text message at 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a